Well, like Dad said, I got a I think a good word here the next at least 3 weeks, maybe four, maybe eight. I don't know. We'll keep going for a while. Not eight. He'll shut me off after three or four. But I do want to spend a few weeks talking about grace, and I'm real excited to share this message series with you because I think it'll be beneficial for you, and also because I'll just be honest with you, it has totally wrecked me. I mean, it's just done a work in my heart, my life, and hopefully I can do it justice and get out what God has put in and do it justice here for the next couple of weeks. But when I was growing up, I grew up in a Christian home. Obviously, my dad's been a pastor all my life. I was bad, but I was good bad. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, I was bad, but I was good bad. Like, I wasn't walking around cussing out people or stealing or shooting up drugs or anything like that, but I was sneaky. You know, I lied. That's right. I was disrespectful. I was awesome. But it's funny that some of you laughed when I said good, bad, because in our mind, we put this separation of what's really, really bad and what's just good, bad. Well, I just told a little white lie. Well, no, there's no such thing. I mean, it's a lie. It's bad. But for some reason in our mind, we have these different levels. And maybe that's one of the fundamental problems of the Christian faith today. We have levels to our faith and levels to our devotion and levels to how many scriptures or things that we can post on social media. And we categorize people on different levels on how close they are to God and how far away they are from God. You ever said something like this? Oh man, that person is out there. I mean, they are like, they are out there. They're out there compared to who? And the only person we can compare them to is ourselves. So if you do it, and I mean, if I do it and it's bad, but if you do it and you go further than me, then man, you are out there. Oh my goodness, did you see her? Have you heard what he did? Did you see that over there? And so we say that person is out there. And you could have said it in a lot of different ways, but that's a thought maybe that you've had in your life. Because somewhere along the way, we've allowed ourselves to become the measuring stick of God's goodness.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Like somehow God has chosen me. Come on now, be honest. Somehow, God has chosen me. This isn't what we say out loud, but this is what we think. God's chosen me to be the gauge for how all other human beings are now viewed by God. Because I wouldn't do that, and God's blessing me, and now you're doing that, and you're further than me, and God's not blessing you. Well, I can see why. God's blessing me, and he's not blessing you, so I must be the standard. Come on now, let's be honest. This isn't stuff that church people say, but some people walked into church this morning feeling better about yourself because you came to church when your drunk uncle or your next door neighbor who got drunk last night, they're still passed out and asleep on the couch, but you feel good about yourself because you're here and they're not. I mean, this isn't stuff we say out loud, but this is stuff that we think sometimes. Craig, why are you saying this? Because for so long, this was me. For so many years, I would never say it out loud, but I always thought, I'm better than you. Because that was ingrained in me somehow. Maybe it was the church I grew up in. I don't know. Maybe it was just the people I was around, the people who knew me. Maybe it was my prayer, man, because I could pray. And yeah, I gave a little bit, and I served a little bit. And after all, I messed up, but who doesn't? I mean, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but I don't fall as short as you do. That was just me. I'm just being honest. That's how I was. I'd go to church and I'd lift my hand and I'd look around to see who was lifting their hand and who what. Oh, they're not lifting their hand this morning. There must be something wrong with them. Who knows if they've gone through a hard time this week or if they lost a loved one or even if their arms are paralyzed and they can't raise. That didn't cross my mind. Here I am to worship. They're not worshiping, but I am. Offering plate comes around, pull out my wallet strong. Like, how many am I giving you today, Lord? Looking around. I mean, they could have given online. I didn't even know. I mean, that's where I was. Somehow all these things feed into this insecurity that tells us that I'm better than you in some way. We're always trying to level up and be better than somebody else. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't until just a few years ago, guys, that I truly understood that we all need the grace of Jesus. I mean, it wasn't until a few years ago that I understood the guy in the homosexual relationship and the mom who kidnapped the kids, they're in need of the same grace of Jesus that I am in need of. And I think for a lot of us in this room, deep down inside, we see what people do and we think that that is who they are. And if they did it and you didn't do it, then somehow I'm better than they are. I'm telling you right now, these next several weeks, my prayer is that God will begin to tear the scales of religion away from our eyes and will help us to see clearly that no matter if you're the mom in the suburb with a 9-bedroom house and you'll vacation 3 times a year, or you're the person who's homeless eating out of a trash can, we all need the same grace of Jesus. Amen. So today, I want to entitle this message, Grace Is. Just Grace Is. And if you're taking notes, you can write down this first point, which is this. Landon, grace is amazing. Amen. This is something that a lot of people don't understand because we say amazing grace. We even sing amazing grace. I think every song that we sang this morning, Michael, had some reference to grace in it. I'm pretty sure it did. But why is grace amazing? Like, it's not just enough to have grace, but we say that it's amazing grace. And I began to think about this, and I began to study this, and I looked at that word amazing, and the word amazing means that things that are unusual, something that doesn't make sense, things that are abstract or over-the-top feats. It's kind of like the show that just came on for the new season on Wednesday, American Ninja Warrior. Anybody familiar with that show, American Ninja Warrior? Well, if you're not, basically what it is, it's a giant obstacle course for adults. And, you know, these adults display these amazing, crazy, you know, feats of strength and agility and balance. And it's just unbelievable what all they can do. And so Savannah and I were sitting on the couch and we were watching it, and she said, "Man, Daddy, look at that guy's muscles. He's got big muscles. Daddy, do your muscles do that?" And I said, "Yes, they do. Not currently, but if I worked on them long enough," I said, "yes, they could do that." I said, "Savannah, isn't that amazing?" And she said, "Yeah, Dad, that's amazing, because not the average person could be 30 feet in the air and travel 20 feet across a beam of just a 2-inch piece of wood on their finger. Not an average person can do that." And God spoke to me and said, "Amazing is not average. It's not something that the average person can do." And talking about God, it is something that they wouldn't do. And I said, "Okay, God, so your grace is amazing. Okay, I kind of understand that. What does that mean?" And God said, "Well, most people in the world don't understand grace." And I said, "Yeah, that's true. There's, you know, the world's a big place. They don't understand grace." He said, No, Craig. Most people in the church, most people in your church don't understand what grace is, and they don't understand that grace is amazing. Just think about how many believers today stepped into a place of worship filled with shame, filled with condemnation, filled with fear and guilt. How many people are sitting, maybe even here this morning, who are performance-oriented and perfection-driven? How many people are battling depression and discouraged because we feel like we can never measure up? And this is what's happening inside of our churches. So that tells me that we don't have a full understanding of what grace is, because somehow we feel that it's still our works that's making us accepted by God. Somehow you feel like it's your paycheck or the way you dress or the car you drive or how much you serve or when you serve or how much you give and who you minister to. No, and we think all these things that we do externally is what makes us accepted by God. And you're in a place right now believing a lie that the enemy wants you to believe, that you have, in order for you to receive God's grace, you have to work for it. So we do everything we can and we work really, really hard because we don't want to make our Heavenly Father mad. We don't want to rock the boat, so to speak. We don't want to do anything that would give Him cause for Him to put us out of the house. So I won't be the child who does anything wrong, because if I do one thing wrong, I'll be shamed, I'll be kicked out, I'll be thrown away, and I won't ever get to experience the Father's love. And this is why we have generations of people who have gone to church religiously, but they're empty on the inside. And now their children and their grandchildren aren't going to church. And they see that church is fake. And now we have a whole generation of young people and a whole generation of their children who are unchurched and de-churched because they don't want to have to be feared into something. They want to love something. And that lets me know that as a church, we don't fully understand grace. heard a prominent pastor explain grace like this one time. He said, grace is like this. It's like you're in a boat and there's this strong current that's pulling you towards hell. And God provides the oars, and that's grace. And as long as you got those oars and you keep rowing and you're rowing against the current pulling you toward hell, you're going to make it to heaven. And the pastor said this, grace is the divine enablement to keep on rowing. And a lot of people would be like, man, that sounds good. I like that. That's true. But then I would note that you don't understand grace. Because that wouldn't be amazing grace. That would be amazing you. Look at me working. Look at me serving. Look at me doing. And I got news for you. You're not that amazing. And he was speaking to this large group of people. And several years ago, I'd have been like, that's right, amen. Row, row, row your boat, pastor. I would have been there. But I didn't have a full understanding of what grace is. And when I understood, I said, man, that doesn't sound right. You mean I have to keep rowing? I have to keep the law? I have to keep going against the current? And this pastor said, I polled 100 pastors and I asked them, what is grace? And 90% of them said something like, grace is the unmerited favor of God. But 10% said, grace is the divine enablement to live a new life for God. And I think the church has missed it. He said, grace is the divine enablement to live a new life for God. And I said, yeah, that kind of sounds right. But I think he missed it. I think he said, he missed the key ingredient. He was explaining what grace does, not what grace is. See, grace does enable us to live a new life for God. Grace does enable you to fight the temptations that are pulling you down. Grace does do those things for you. But I want you to write this down. Grace is, this is what grace is. Grace is, Landon, put it up there for us. The unmerited, undeserved, unearned kindness and favor of God.
Amen.
That's what grace is. It's unmerited, it's unearned, it's undeserved, like nothing you did, nothing that you do allows God to put His grace on display for you. It's unmerited, it's undeserved, it's unearned, it's the kindness and the favor of God. And this is a foundational message for us in this series, and we got to get this in our hearts because it's going to take me a couple of weeks to get you to see what grace is. And that's okay. Just keep coming back. Just keep hearing. Don't miss anything. So what I want to do the rest of the service this morning is I want to take these words and I kind of want to break them down for you, okay? So the title of the message is Grace Is. Point number one, grace is amazing. Point number two, grace is unmerited. Grace is unmerited. Now here's what I want to do. I want to take Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8, 9, and 10 and I want to read them for you from three different versions of Scripture, okay? So Landon, get ready because we're getting ready to go through these, buddy, all right? So I want to read them from three different versions of Scripture because it just keeps getting better and better. I mean, when I get to the end, you're going to be happy. So here it is. First version says this, "For by grace you have been saved through one action." You did one thing. Faith. So when you put your faith in Jesus, you've now been extended grace only through your ability to receive it through faith. And that not of yourselves. And I love this because Paul's telling you, we try to take credit for it. Paul's letting us know, you didn't do anything. We're trying to take credit for it. It's not your rowing that allows you to experience the grace of God. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You see, there's a lot of boasting going on down here. But I can guarantee you, when we get to heaven, there'll be no boasting in heaven because we'll be looking around and saying, man, I didn't have much to do with this. I mean, because I can play back all the mistakes in my life and I can realize I didn't have a whole lot to do with getting here. Because I remember, you know, March 1st, 1974, and I was out there. Y'all remember out there? I was out there. But God was right there with us. And somehow we forget that it's not of our works. Second version, this is from the Amplified Version. Here's what it says. "For it is by grace, God's remarkable favor and compassion drawing you to Christ." So if there's any current, it's not a current drawing you toward hell. There's a current that's drawing you towards Christ. I mean, the Bible says the Holy Spirit draws into salvation. And life circumstances and issues, those are the things that dams and boulders in our way. But God is after you. He wants a relationship with you, and He's drawing us to Himself. No matter how many times you fouled up, no matter how many times you messed up, He wants a relationship with you. Look at it, that you have been saved, actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, not through your own effort. Not because of anything that we have done, but it's the undeserved gracious gift of God as a result, not as a result of your works. Like, this passage of Scripture is being extremely redundant, because sometimes I think, you know, God, I didn't deserve it back then, but I've been really good lately. Like, I've been serving, and it's been like 6 months since I cussed somebody out, and I haven't drunk in a long time. And so we start to think, and it keeps coming back to these same things. No, no, no. It's not of your works. It's not because of anything that you have done or that you're currently doing. That's not it. It's not because of your works. It's not because you serve the orphans in Haiti. It's not because you've given the largest offering you've ever given this year. It has nothing to do with that. Nor your attempts to keep the law so that no one will be able to boast or take credit in any way for salvation. I'm going to read this last passage of Scripture from the Message version. It says this: Now God had us, or has us, right where He wants us, with all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all His idea and all His work. All we do, look at it, all we do is trust Him enough to let Him do it. Woo! That's such good Bible right there, y'all. That is so good. Let us know that we don't have to keep the law. Man, that should be freeing to somebody right now, because I got news for you. There's no way that you can even keep the law you set for yourself sometimes. You said this week you weren't eating donuts. How'd you end up in the line at Krispy Kreme with a box of chocolate glaze? You can't even keep the law you set for yourself. So what do? It says all we do is trust Him enough to let Him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging about what we had done the whole thing. No, we neither make ourselves nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. Man, that's such good Bible right there. So when I started looking at this, I know this goes against a lot of people's philosophy about themselves, because sometimes the only reason we feel good about ourselves is because of all the things that we're not doing. I mean, we're boasting about things we didn't do. Yeah, girl, you know, I was crazy back in high school, but I'm good now. I mean, I'm serving. I got a job, pays me money. I got two guys fighting over me. And somehow we think it's all this stuff that we're doing now. It's all my good deeds. Like, I needed God when I got out of college, but 10 years later, after all my good deeds, after all my works, it became my rowing. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? And I know this is hard for some of us to hear, because it doesn't make us better than anybody. And this is where religion comes in and tries to make different levels, where we believe this and we don't believe this. Well, we do this on this day, we don't do this on this day. And God is saying, no, 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 no. I want you to know that you're all my favorites. Stop trying to one up to be my favorite. You're all my favorites. Don't you understand? I love you all the same. Well, God, even Jeremy, God? I mean, Jeremy, not he's not here this morning. Not that, John. I just made a name up and pointed in that direction for no reason whatsoever. But even Jeremy, God? I mean, he cussed you out. And he's even high in your presence right now. You mean even Jeremy? And God's like, even Jeremy. God says, hold on, because I'll leave the 99 and I'll go get Jeremy, because that's my child. And we don't understand that sometimes. And we sit here and we look like the prodigal's brother. Why aren't you busting him? Like, why aren't you making him pay? You never throw a party for me. I've been faithful. I've been holding on to your promises. And God's coming to us and saying, look, everything that I have is yours. You can throw a party whenever you want. But the reason that we're celebrating is because Jeremy was lost, but now he is found. He did nothing to deserve it. He didn't merit it. As a matter of fact, he was doing the complete opposite. So what happens when God extends His grace to somebody like that in our lives, and they're running in the opposite direction, and God comes to you and He asks you to help throw the party? He asks you to make out the invite list. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do we really understand grace? Or somewhere along the way, do we start thinking it's about us and about our works and what we've been able to accomplish? Because we don't merit the grace of God. Let me see if I can illustrate this point this way. I had a kid in class this year, and Once a week at least. Once a week at least. She would forget her lunch money, but she would bring her lunch money to school, and she would have it spent before we ate lunch at 11 o'clock. Like, she came in at 8, we had lunch at 11. She had 3 hours to hang on to her $4 or $5 that she had for lunch money every day. And at least one day a week, she would go on our morning walk, and she would buy chips and a drink, and all her lunch money would be gone. And she'd be like, Coach Price, I need to call my dad. He needs to bring me some lunch money. And I said, really? So we'd go to the office, and she'd call our dad. And sure enough, about 30, 35 minutes later, I'd walk her back up to the office, and there was her dad. I'm telling you, once a week this happened. I'm not exaggerating. And her dad would be standing there with lunch money, and she'd say, thank you, Daddy. He'd say, you're welcome. He'd give her a hug, and he'd be about his business. Not one time did her dad not show up. Not one time did her dad question her. He gave her the money and went on his way. It was almost like that he expected her to mess up, so he was ready to take care of her stupid mistakes. And when I begin to think about what grace is, it's already my Heavenly Father taking into account all my stupid mistakes. And he said, I'm going to send the payment that'll be able to take care of all your mistakes. And when I saw that, I thought, man, that's what grace looks like. Because I know me. Right? I know me. You could ask my mom and dad. I know me. Most of us, if our kids were doing it, well, I guess you ain't eating today. I guess you're going without food. I guess you're going to fast because I gave you money. What'd you do with it? Oh, it don't matter now because you don't have any. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down to the cafeteria and watch everybody else eat. So maybe tomorrow. Because we're always in a place where we feel like we have to teach something. That what you did, you suffer for. But once you receive the grace of God, you experience another level of God's faithfulness. And I'm not saying that there's not consequences to sin. I'm just saying the grace of God is unmerited. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. The CPV, Craig Price version, says that love covers a multitude of stupid sins, because that's what really ends up happening. But you have to let grace into that situation. And see, here's the sad thing about us. Many of us, we don't want grace for other people because we haven't accepted it for ourselves. Many of us don't want grace to pour out like a flood upon the people around us because we haven't truly accepted it ourselves. I mean, can I tell you something? God is not holding you hostage for what you did in your past. He's not holding you hostage for what you did in college. You're holding yourself hostage. You keep talking about it. And God's standing like, okay, hey, can we move past this? Oh, you're going to talk about it again? Okay, fine. But I'm ready to move past this whenever you are, because anyone who is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. Everything has become new. So the question is this. You can say that the grace of God is unmerited, but do you believe it? Next one, number three, the grace of God is undeserved. Like, you don't deserve it. That's the bottom line of this point. I could move on, but I'm not. But that's the bottom line. You don't deserve the grace of God, even though you may be a leader, a better person, even though you might have more money, a bigger house. It doesn't matter. Even though you may be more generous, it doesn't matter. You do not deserve the grace of God. Look what Romans says. Landon, throw the next one up there. Romans says this, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So what I want to do for this point, I just want to unpack this word grace just a little bit, okay? The word grace in the Greek is the word charis. Now, this was actually a Greek word before it became a spiritual word. So we need to understand what it meant in the Greek before we can have a full understanding of what it means spiritually, okay? And so God chose this word to help us understand what grace looks like in our lives. And it always referred to this. It always referred to a superior giving a benevolent gift to an inferior. Now, not an inferior person in status, but it may be an inferior person in goods or in services. And so let's say somebody owned an electronics store, and they were superior, and they could provide electronics, okay? Richard, you might help me. You look comfortable. I'm going to have you stand up just a second. You might help me for a second? Just stand right here. So, Richard, you can keep that with you. It's fine. Yeah, you can hold on to that. So Richard is superior because he owns an electronics store, and he's able to provide goods or services in electronics, okay? So he's the superior. Reed, you might help me out just a second? I want to embarrass you, so if you say no, that's fine. You might help? Okay, can you stand right here? This is Reed, all right? So Reed's going to help me out a second. All right, so this is what would happen. This is a picture of grace, okay? So a superior in goods or resources, all right, would give to an inferior in goods or resources. And we would say that that's a picture of grace. But when you study it out in the Greek, this may surprise you, there was always a third party involved. So we had a superior in goods or resources, somebody who could supply it, that would give to an inferior, but there was a third party involved. And superior and inferior, I would never use those in spiritual terms. I'm just trying to paint a picture for us, okay, and to help us understand what this means. So maybe, Richard, you be the patron, all right? Richard's the patron. You're the client, okay? All right, she's the client, all right? And I'm the third person. I'm the third party. I'm the broker. And here's what would happen. Richard would say, I can provide the goods. And it was the broker's job to go find the person who needed the goods to deliver the goods to them. All right? So, Richard, you hang on to this just a second, all right? Because you're the owner of the electronics, so that's an Amazon Kindle. So, all right, so Richard can provide the goods, okay? But there was something happened. The broker just didn't bring the two people together. The broker would actually go and would pay for the goods from the patron, and he would deliver it. And he would deliver it to the client or to the person who needed it. So the broker not only gave it from the person who made it to the person who needed it, but the broker paid for it in full. And the client didn't have anything to do with it. Now don't miss this. This is a picture of grace. This isn't a fake example. Read that's your Amazon Kindle, okay? That's yours. You can have it. All right? Did you see her face there? Did you see that? Because she didn't deserve it. She didn't earn it. She didn't merit it. She did nothing to get this. I was thinking of her this week, and she wasn't even thinking about herself. I went this week, and I paid for that to give it to her. Do you see the picture of grace here? Thank you, guys can sit down. Do you see the picture of grace? Thank you. You can have a seat. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? Jesus is our broker. He's the one that said, God, what do you need me to do? Because the world needs you and you have something that they need. What do you need me to do? You need me to go down on a tree? Fine, I'll do it and I'll pay for it in full. Man. Some of you need to recognize this, that God hasn't put your salvation on layaway. Y'all know what layaway is? Layaway. Y'all know what layaway is? Huh? You pick something out and you put a little bit down. You come back later to the store, you put a little bit more down until you get it paid for. That's what some people think coming to church is. I'm putting a little bit down on my salvation. So some people think serving is, I got to put a little bit down over here, but I've got to put a little something down to keep my relationship. When you accepted Jesus Christ, it was paid in full. The grace of God is undeserved. If you don't hear anything else I say, I want you to know that you didn't merit the kindness and the goodness and the favor of God. You don't deserve it. Last point, number four. Michael, you can come on. Number four, grace is unearned. Grace is unearned. And this is the one I think that a lot of people get messed up on. Romans 11:6 says this. Throw the next one up there, buddy. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. And some of you are going, huh? My name's Craig. I'm your tour guide. We're going to get through this together. All right. So here's what I want to do. I want to substitute the words grace and works with the words free and earned. All right. So let's read this verse again with those two words substituted. All right. So this is the remix version. It says, if it is free, it is not earned. Otherwise, free is not free. But if it is earned, it is not free. Otherwise, earned is not earned. That make more sense? It's saying this, that grace is either one of two things. It's either a free gift or it's earned. And many of us don't want to accept that the grace of God is a free gift. It's unearned. I love what the Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible says. Landon, throw the next one up there. It says this, grace is the dimension of divine activity that enables God to confront human indifference and rebellion, look at this, with an inexhaustible capacity to forgive and to bless. God, you can't run out of forgiveness for us? No. God, you won't stop blessing me? No. And like you can never be given a gift that you have to pay for. It's like if somebody brought you a gift for your birthday and you opened it up, he's like, oh, thank you so much. It's so nice. I love it. You're like, good. That'd be $92.50. You'd be like, oh, I don't like this. You can have it back here. Because it's not free if you got to pay for it. If grace is not free, it's not a gift. And the scripture says over and over and over again that it's the free gift of God. You only do one of two things with a gift. You can accept it or you can reject it. This gift has a name, and his name is Jesus. And the Bible says that he stands at the door of our hearts and he knocks. Hey, have a package for you. I have transformation for you. I have healing for you. Oh, what's that? You won't let me in today? Okay, I'll come back later. Hey, me again, Jesus, aka Grace. Yeah. Yeah, I know. You've been thinking about me since you were 16. And that night at camp, you almost accepted me. I know I was right there. But you couldn't because of what you did the day before, and you thought that messed you up, and so you were like, I really can't. But I've been watching you every day. Like since you were born. I know this is a little weird, but I even know the amount of hair you have on your head. Why do you want me, Jesus? I mean, I should have to pay for all these things I've done. And Jesus would say, yeah, about that. The wages of sin is death. And there was a payment. But if you let me in, I could tell you about our Father. Man, he's a good Father. He's a good Father. And our Father, you haven't met him yet, but when you do, you'll never meet a more grace-filled person in your life. Like he saw you here in this time and he sent me so that everything you did to create this long, long bill, man, we have a good Father. And he already paid for it. But Jesus, I heard it was all these rules and regulations and things you can do and can't do. And Jesus would say, man, once you meet our Father, you'll just want to do things differently. I mean, once you meet our Father, you'll not be looking for security from other people. You'll know whose you are now. Like, you've just been out here trying to get this done on your own. Can you let me in? Can I help you? Jesus, I'm not ready yet. Okay, cool. I'll be back tomorrow and the day after that. And I'll show up at your job where you're working. And I'm working all little things out in your life, like that promotion that you got. Yeah, that was me. No, Jesus, that was me. Okay. I mean, I know you copied and pasted everything for that presentation, but, oh, okay. Maybe tomorrow, Jesus. And Jesus would say, oh, okay. But tomorrow's not promised. But just in case, I'll be here. See, the grace of God is unearned. And the grace of God is a person. Grace is Jesus. And everything that you or I have been able to do in this life, it's because of Jesus and his grace. The grace of God is amazing. Because none of us have earned it, none of us deserve it, and none of us have merited it. Thank God for Jesus. Let's pray.